Well, there's a list of our guests next week while I'm at the Cave in St. Louis. On Monday, we're going to talk about miracles with Marianne Williamson, A Gift of Change. Charles R. Smith drops back in for a complete show on the changing technology on this planet. On Wednesday, Joshua Warren, who would have been the guest this week, we had to reschedule Joshua when we were covering that breaking story of the United Arab Emirates ports story. So how to hunt ghosts on Wednesday, and then we'll fill you in on a couple more surprises on Thursday and Friday. When we come right back, we'll continue with the final hour of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast. Also, don't forget this Saturday, Ian Punnett, Coast to Coast Live, 6 p.m. Pacific time until 10. Then Art comes in on Saturday, Art comes in on Sunday, and I'll be back on Monday. Let's go to the phones. We'll go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
I'm an avid Coast to Coast listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you. Where are you calling from?
Vancouver, British Columbia.
Well, thanks. Welcome to the program.
Oh, I just absolutely love Coast to Coast, and many of my coworkers do as well. I'm just passing that along.
Well, it's great to hear.
And you sure keep us going at night, and it's a very intriguing show, I must say. I've got a few things. First of all, that Dimitri fellow, I think if he was an actual entity, he would be able to specifically say a specific date at a specific time, not on or before, because that's too vague.
That is vague. You're right.
That is very vague, and that could leave us subjective to, okay, what event was it supposed to be on what day, right? If there was two or three major events.
Because things are always happening on this planet anyway.
Yeah, that's right. So anyways, I wanted to tell you two really neat things, and I heard a little blip about control. I'll throw in one little thing at the end. We were going down through Tennessee into Kentucky in the end of 79, very beginning of 80, my family and I, and we were going through the forest part of the mountains on the highway, and vehicles stopped coming towards us when we stopped because the whole sky lit up, and this was like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And the whole sky lit up above us like it was daylight. And this lasted for upwards of about 3 or 4 minutes, and then all of a sudden it was like somebody flicked a switch and it went off. Well, the very next morning, we were stuck in a pullout for half a day because it snowed the very first time there.
What do you think this was?
I have no idea, but we all stopped our vehicles. We were all standing out. We were wondering, we thought something was going to crash, or we couldn't hear any sound or anything, but we saw this amazing light. And the very next morning, it snowed there for the very first time.
You know, we've seen flashes for a few seconds that light up the sky, but never for minutes. That's incredible.
Yeah, and then we moved out here 11 years ago from Ontario, and 2 months before we moved out here, it's 2 weeks from now, it'll be 11 years since we moved out here, and about 2 months before we moved out here, overhead in downtown Detroit, it was on the news one evening that the whole of downtown Detroit looked up to see a disc over the whole of downtown.
I heard about that story. I know my parents called me on that one.
And even the sergeant of the police force witnessed it.
A lot of strange things going on up there, Ken.
Yeah, and I heard a little blip while I was waiting to talk to you about Big Brother and control and whatnot. A very interesting thing passed to me by email the other day. People have to be very wary, whether in public washrooms or meeting rooms or whatever, take your fingernail to a mirror. If you see a space between your fingernail and the copy of your fingernail, it's an actual mirror. If your fingernail touches your fingernail, it's a two-way mirror and somebody's watching you.
Really? I didn't know that.
So everybody now can have a sense that if they first do the mirror check, you'll know if somebody's watching you where they shouldn't be.
You know how many people are going to be doing that in restrooms now?
Exactly. Well, it's a very, or meeting rooms or any.
Oh, sure.
Hotel rooms.
I did not. So if the fingernails meet between the mirror and your finger, then it's a two-way mirror.
Somebody's watching, and so especially like in motel rooms, that's a very good place to check for your own security.
Do you put your fingernail right against it?
You put your fingernail to the mirror.
Right to it, okay.
If you see a space between the copy of your fingernail and your own fingernail, it's an actual mirror. But if you're you put your finger there and there's no gap and it touches right to the copy of your fingernail, then it's a two-way mirror and somebody's watching.
I'm going to go try that.
Okay.
I'm curious. As a matter of fact, talk for about 2 minutes. I'm going to go try it now and I'll be right back. Okay? Go ahead.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. All right, but thanks. I will try that.
Oh, it's just been a real pleasure talking to you, George, right. And you really do make my evening, so thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Ken. Appreciate you being part of the program. Our neighbors north in Canada. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, how are you there, George?
Doing great. And where are you calling from?
Calling from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Well, thanks for holding so long. How many hours were you on?
Only about half of it. But now, this Dimitri guy, I'm not too sure if he's the real deal or not, you know? But I'm looking at his picture, and I think something's up with him. I don't know if he's really the devil channeler or not, but up and just left to his head, up in the top right of his top left of his picture, excuse me, there seems to be an orb.
I saw that, and I can see that now on the picture, too. And I checked with Tom, who took that picture, and he said, George, there's no way it was a flash reflection. And, you know, he put him up against this background.
Yes.
And he said there was nothing there.
Yeah. And so I don't know if he's the real deal with the devil channeling, but something's definitely up with this guy.
He is creepy.
Yes, he is.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Sean just did the nail routine to a mirror, and he reports back that it's cool. So it does work that way. So I'm going to try that too. No matter where you go, you just put your fingernail against a mirror, and if you see a space, it's a real mirror. If you don't, if both nails touch, then you know someone's on the other end peeking at you. International Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good day, George.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I had a quick story that happened in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay, where are you now?
I'm right now in Piedras Negras, Mexico.
Okay.
It's this supposedly of a girl that was supposed to stay home. She didn't listen to her mother. She snuck out, went to a ballroom. The ballroom is called El Comorancito. It's on Highway 90 West.
And what does that stand for?
I don't know, actually.
Okay.
I just know it's called El Comorancito. It's a ballroom, and they held dances there. Supposedly, she went to the dance. The dance was going on. Supposedly, they said that there was a man that walked into the building that was very handsome, very good-looking. The girls were going, looking at him. Everybody wanted to dance with him and stuff like that. Well, he supposedly went out and picked this one girl to dance. They went out to the dance floor. They started dancing and everything. And then they said all of a sudden that the people started screaming, and they started noticing that the man and the lady dancing. And they said the people, when they started looking at them, that the people started, they were looking at the man dancing, and he had a chicken leg, a leg of a rooster, and the leg of a goat. And that everybody started screaming, and that all of a sudden the lights turned off. It got real smoky, got real ugly smell in the building and stuff like that. The lights turned back on. They said the man was nowhere to be found, and neither was the lady.
The man took the lady's soul and body,
I guess.
Oh, my gosh. I had heard a similar story like that down in the South, where people went to a barn dance, and this person who came in, same thing, good-looking guy, just waltzed his way into the room, but he had, like, cloven hoofs, and same kind of thing. He just took some girl out, and she was never seen again.
It's weird. And another thing about the devil, at the end, Jehovah wins, Jesus Christ wins, they come, the devil, he'll be ceased to exist forever.
I think in the end, good will win, no matter what.
Thank God.
Even though it might be a tough road. Okay.
Well, thank you, George.
Thanks.
And it was great talking to you.
Take care of yourself. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Enjoy your show. Enjoy hearing Art also.
Thank you.
I am calling from the state of Alabama. And, George, I'm a licensed mental health counselor in this state. And I go into people's homes and work with them. And in all the thousands of hours that I have done that, in dozens of homes, I have had an occurrence that will just basically haunt me until I think my dying day.
What happened?
If you will bear with me, I will try to be able to describe this. I was commissioned by the state, George, to go in a home where there was was a biological mother and her three younger children and a stepfather. And this oldest child was 15. He was being brought back from a facility that he had received treatment as a sexual offender, and he was being reunited to the home. He had molested the youngest child, which was a sister that was 3 years old. And when he was brought into the home, George, and we worked with him as a group, I and the family, all except the stepfather. He refused to be part of it, was very angry that I was in his home.
Probably also didn't want the boy to come back, I would guess.
He was very leery of that.
Yeah.
But it was very successful, George, and the child went to school, did well, worked well with peers, got into sports and did great until 2 months. And at that 2 month period of time, George, he slowly started going downhill, and I could not put my finger on it. I'm not by far the best counselor out there, but there was no explanation for what was going on with his decline. And George, after about another month, he ended up molesting the sister again.
Oh, no.
And had to go back. Well, George, when I first went in the home, everything looked normal except when you looked to your right, and there was a long hallway. And this child's room was the only one at that end of the house, and it just seemed there was something different about it that you could not put your finger on. Well, when the oldest child went back to the treatment center because of that reoffense, they moved the middle child in, which was a 9-year-old boy.
Okay.
And George, the only reason I was talking with him is he was in a family where there was another family member that had been molested, trauma, in other words. And George, when you went in that room, you saw the bed, and if you looked to the left of the foot of the bed, there was a bathroom, but up at to the left of the head of that bed was a very large walk-in closet. And George, I was talking with that young fellow one day, and we had finished with our work, and I was on the way out, and I told him goodbye. This was a very intelligent child, taught with you very much like we are. And he asked me, he said, Mr. Chris, can I talk to you a minute before you go? And I said, sure. And keep in mind, George, this child has nothing wrong with him. And he looked at me, he said, Mr. Chris, do you ever hear voices? And I said, no, I can't say that I have. And George, with schizophrenia, you know what you've got to think about there.
That's right.
In that comment, I pointed at certain parts of the frontal lobe and the back of the cranium, which sometimes, you know, your schizophrenia will feel like it's basically in a certain area. And I said, well, do you
hear the voices here?
And he said, no, Mr. Chris. He said, I don't hear voices. I only hear one voice. And he said, it's not in my head. He said, it comes from my closet.
Oh, my.
And I looked at him. And, George, I noticed something when he started talking about that. I'm a very introspective person. And something happened in that room. Something started at that point. The only way I know to describe it is it was like a wet static electricity. George, you couldn't see anything with your eyes, but you could feel it. And he looked at me. The young fellow looked at me in an alarmed state, and I could tell that he knew that he could feel that also. And I kept talking with him. I said, what does the voice, when do you hear it, Michael? And he said, well, I hear that sometimes after everybody's gone to sleep, and I hear it sometimes when I first get up in the morning. And he said, you know how you tell me, I always say to myself, I'm going to have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very good person. I said, yes, I do. He said, well, I do that each morning. And he said, sometimes that voice will answer me and tell me you're not a good person. No one likes you. You're going to just hurt people today by just trying to talk to them. Don't try to talk to anybody. You're no good.
Pure evil is
and
in
he,
that concept.
And he looked at me and said something that horrified me. A child that had never committed anything evil as far as an act or had any mental health problem looked at me and started crying. And he said, Mr. Chris, sometimes it tells me to go into my little sister's room and hurt her. And I knew, I felt what it might be at that point, that it was a true existence of evil. And I looked at him, I said, let's pray, Mike. And we started praying. And George, as soon as we did, that feeling left. And I talked with him about praying, about going to church, etc. But George, at the point that I had left the home 2 weeks later, the child had created such a fuss about being in that room that the mother moved him back in his original room.
And you can't blame him.
No, but George, let me be quick here saying the story didn't end here. 1 year later, I ran into the mother working at her new place, and she recognized me and called me over, and we exchanged pleasantries of how have you been doing. And I noticed that she had a new gentleman to the left of her, and I didn't want to inquire openly, but she said, hi, oh, this is my new husband, so-and-so. And I looked at her, I said, well, I didn't know that happened. I said, well, congratulations, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I said, what happened? She said, well, a few weeks after you left, me and so-and-so, my husband at that time, started having problems. And he moved out. And he moved into that room that Michael used to be in.
Oh, my God.
And, George, do you know that that woman looked at me and told me that when I asked her what happened, she said, that so-and-so molested my little girl.
Oh.
You know, George, there's a lot of people who don't believe that, you know, I'll just call it the God and the devil exist, but good and evil do exist. I've learned that evil is something that appears as very powerful and strong, but in essence, it's so weak compared to good that it's ridiculous. But I will remember that, and it will scare me
chilling
to my dying day.
Chilling. And what about the little girl? What's ever become of her? Do you know?
George, I don't know. They have her in treatment. She's a child that has now been molested over 3 times.
She may never be the same, will she? I mean,
exactly.
My God.
Exactly.
All right, thank you for that story.
Thank you.
My God, that's got to be one of the very chilling story I've ever heard. Well, we're going to take this break in just a moment, and we'll come back with open lines. I'll tell you, what one heck of a night tonight, I got to tell you. I do believe that pure evil can loom like that. And in this particular case, in a closet, affecting an entire family. How did it get there in the first place, though? That would be a great question to try to find out its answer. How did it get there in the first place? Fast Blasts are still open for the next 30 minutes or so, and my emails are open as well. So fire away. I'll be back in just a second. Open lines continue. Thank you for calling, by the way. We'll be right back. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Did you ever go to sleep with your arm dangling over the bed? Bet you can't do it. I can't. Got to bring that arm back up. Let's go back to the phones. Wildcard line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you. I love the show, man. I've gone through before. I'm calling out of Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
Listening to you on WILD 610.
Absolutely. It's our number one station down in Miami.
Oh, really?
Yes,
is it really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, catch you every night. You keep me awake till 5 in the morning every single night, man. You guys are great down there. I actually was trying to get on earlier when Scott was on the line with you. I wanted to know if you guys have heard of a gentleman by the name of Martin Stubbs.
I have not. He might have, but I have not.
The reason I bring this up is because you guys are talking about Soho and about the images of the sun. Martin Stubbs actually was a cable, I believe he was a cable repairman up in Canada, and he started actually collecting streams that were coming down from NASA. And a lot of the streams that he was recording actually showed UFOs in them. And there were live feeds that when NASA found out that he was actually collecting these streams, they actually blocked it, and now they actually have a delay. I think it's like an hour delay before the streams could be seen.
Okay, I heard there was somebody in Canada doing that. I did not know his name.
That was his name, Martin Stubbs. He actually died. I believe he died in a car accident a couple years ago. But there's a video that he put out. It's called The Smoking Gun. If you can get your hands on it, it's a great video. It shows pretty much almost the real raw footage.
I saw a little clip of it once, and it is astounding stuff.
it's shocking stuff. I mean, once you see that, you really can't deny it, especially when the astronauts are right in space and they're you know, acknowledging that there's an object behind them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can hear them clearly say, oh, there's something at our left side corner, and you can hear the astronaut actually say that. I mean, that pretty much, you know, says it right there. That's definitely something that's real.
I got to look that up again. Thanks for reminding us.
Real quick also, sure. Have you heard of the Red Star Project?
No.
Oh, Project Red Star, I'm sorry.
Project Red Star. Nope, have not.
That's another video you should really try to check out. It's actually, they had downloaded some images right off of NASA's website. And the images, when they started, you know, actually looking a little bit closer into the image, there's a certain section, I think it's in Tithonia City on Mars, there you can actually see a city on the side of Mars.
Okay.
And you can actually see structures of buildings and everything.
You have got us interested now. I'll look for that, too.
It's called Project Star. Get your hands on it.
Red Star.
You'll love it.
Okay, thanks a lot.
It's great talking to you, man, and keep up the great work.
All right.
You're an art of the best.
You take care. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
One of the things that struck me, there was a book that I'd been reading a while back, and with the recent events and the gentleman you were talking to the last couple of nights, the book is called Globalism, America's Demise by William Bowen, and it was actually written in 1984.
Interesting year.
Yeah. But what it talks about is one of the things it mentions is, you know, create a problem, whether it's real or imaginary. You know, if you want any change, create a problem. Then, of course, advertise the problem heavily.
Yep. Get people to rally around it.
Come up with your solution to that problem, thereby affecting your change. You know, and obviously the Patriot Act would be, and the things going on behind that would be one recent example of it. But it also talks of engineering an economic demise of the U.S. dollar, and that causing the breakdown of the U.S. and then, of course, going into the world government,
which is what they're trying to do to us.
Exactly,
they're out there.
So it's got some religious overtones to it as well. But I mean, all in all, it's a good book to read just as a way of looking at how, you know, these things can be brought upon you. You know, one of the things it says is getting a hold of the children and teaching the children. And, of course, the best way to do that is to get the parents out of the home. How do you do that? Entice them with all kinds of, you know, goodies that they have to have. You end up with a two-parent.
Yeah,
good point. Both working. Kids are home alone watching TV.
Keep them in debt. They've got to work their tails off.
Exactly.
And they're never home.
Then the TV starts teaching the kids, and you can teach them whatever you want at that point.
That's a good point. Hey, thanks a lot.
Pleasure.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Yeah, the globalists would love to bring us down to our knees, would they not? First-time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, where are you calling from, sir?
From small-town Indiana.
Oh, well, hi, small-town Indiana.
I got some interesting information on Dimitri.
Yeah.
And as far as people manifesting and this possible Antichrist. And this guy says, soon I will illuminate everyone to my presence through telepathy, through the worldwide linking of satellites. Thus the biblical prophecy will be fulfilled. All eyes will see him. And they also advertise in our local little Democrat in a 10,000-person town. And it said in the national ads, soon the great Lord will appear to everyone and inspire mankind to rebuild brotherhood, justice, and love.
Well, I don't think Dimitri's the Antichrist, do you?
No, no. He's probably
far from it.
A person that's channeling into his messages, which on this Maitreya's website, he has you sitting in a yoga meditative type
right.
position, and he wants you to channel at certain times of the day. But anyhow, he says that he will inspire mankind, that he will illuminate everyone simultaneously throughout the world to his presence, and he will rebuild mankind, rebuild brotherhood, justice, and love, and bring us back into the, you know, nature will even turn upon us.
I got to tell you, it's probably starting right now. And welcome back to Coast, as you know, too, David Icke's website, something has happened to it, David Icke, ICKE.com. If you go and take a look at it, it's got that it's been seized by some secret intelligence organization. I don't know if that is a hoax, a game, or what, but we're going to try to call England and see if we can get a hold of David and find out what the heck is going on there. East of the Rockies, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey.
Yeah.
This is Jeff. I was going to ask you something. Have you ever heard sounds from hell?
Oh, sure. We play that, Jeff, every once in a while. It sounds like people fighting in a shopping mall, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, because when I heard Dimitri, I mean, I'm a first-time caller, and I heard your show last week, because I just got the XM, and I just usually listen to music. I got tired of listening to music, so I turned it to the talk station. I listen to y'all, and I've been listening to everyone.
Good man. Good man. Yeah, these sounds we got some time ago, supposed to be of some Russians. They were digging, and they slipped the microphone down thousands of feet, and they got these horrible screams and sounds. But
yeah, what do you think about that?
Nah, I don't think it's real, but it's spooky. I mean, it sounds weird.
It was back in, 1930, 40, something, a while back ago.
A long time ago. That's it. You got it. You got it. Okay, great. And do we have David on the line? No, you don't. Okay. We don't do that. We're trying to get a hold of David Icke. But yeah, that's what those sounds are. It sounds like the day after Thanksgiving. You know how that Friday is the biggest shopping day of the year? It sounds like people pushing and fighting and shoving. That's exactly what it sounds like. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Oh, not a lot. Hey, this is Chris from East Texas. Yeah, where Columbia blew up. Well, got scattered on everything. Ground zero. Now, I just want to ask you a question. I caught your show last night about 9/11 and everything, and it got me to thinking is, why would Bin Laden claim that he was the direct cause of everything if our own government orchestrated everything? I mean, don't get me wrong, I believe in it 100%.
I agree with you, and I want to give you my stand on where we are with that. But those people who believe in that bigger theory believe all these tapes are made up. They contend that Bin Laden is an operative of the CIA. He once was, but they say either he's dead, doesn't exist anymore, he's gone. But they say everything has now been concocted around him, even if he doesn't exist anymore.
Well, he did have dialysis.
Yes, he did, and it's very pot. I mean, I'm not ruling a lot of these things out at all. But what I think happened is I think that there are some evil people in all governments.
Did
George Bush, go ahead and plan this? I don't think so. Absolutely not. However, are there some people in government who were aware of this hijacking attempt? And did they, for their own reasons, their own greedy little reasons, decide, you know what? We better let this happen, because if it does, look at the things we can do. And I think that's what happened. I think they realized. Now, maybe they were also part of convincing people like Bin Laden to do it. Maybe they encouraged them. I don't know. But I do know that there are some people out there that are very greedy, that have profited on this situation tremendously. And when that happens, it makes you very suspect. So within conspiracies, there's a lot of truth to it.
Yes, sir. Now, I'm going to throw something else at you. I know you got a mind for going out and finding the paranormal and unknown stuff. But around here in East Texas, there's been some killings of animals. Now, these animals are of canine origin, possibly, but nobody has a blind clue of where they actually came from. They look canine, but they're not. They're almost furless. They have little spots of fur on them. People shot them and killed them.
Yes.
They got one on the slab, but nobody knows exactly what it is. And I wanted to bring that to your attention to see what you can snoop up on it.
Okay, no, we've been looking at that. Some people think it's a deformed animal of some type. I don't know what they are.
Hey, I tell you right now, I live in the woods. I know what goes on in the woods, and I ain't ever seen anything like that.
I've never come
across one myself, but I know people that have. One of my coworkers, his next-door neighbor shot one day, and I don't want to come across one of the things.
You got it. All right. Hey, thanks. Appreciate
it. No problem. Have a good night.
Hey, Tommy has just gotten a hold of David Icke, who can't see anything yet because he's trying to talk to his computer people to figure out what the heck is going on before he gives us or anybody else a statement. But Tom just did talk to him down in England, and he may be able to get him back on before we get off the air. We'll see. We'll monitor that situation. But it just seems to me from the message I'm getting from Tom is that Ike's trying to figure out what the heck happened. And if you go to his website, David Icke, I-C-K-E, and he's a internationally known person with some incredible theories about things. His website apparently has been seized, if it's real, has been seized by some British intelligence agency for investigation. Now, that is a bizarre situation because David puts everything on his website, and he's talking, according to Tom, right now. I love this instant messenger system. He says he's on the phone with his webmaster right now. It's very possible that Tom notified David that there was something wrong. Very, very possible indeed. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Torin in Olympia, Washington.
Hi, Torin. Good. Thank you.
You know, this whole port issue got me thinking largely back to September 11th, because as we know, the borders are porous, et cetera. And it was almost an afterthought of the reporters to recognize the date of September 11th. And I started thinking that if they use our kind of number system, our kind of symbolism, that in their eyes, we are the great Satan. Satan's number is 666, according to the book of Revelation.
True.
Well, June 6th is coming up, and it's the year 2006.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if they might attempt something on that date.
I have always thought that myself.
Oh, well, at least I'm not the only one.
No. There may be about 6 billion other people who think that.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Well, great show. Thanks, George.
Thanks, my friend. Good to have you part of the program. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, this is Bill from Rhode Island.
Hi, Bill.
George, I don't know what you think of miracles, but I've had so many miracles happen to me.
I believe in miracles. As a matter of fact, we got a whole show Monday on miracles.
Wait to hear this one.
Okay.
I've only got
2 minutes to go, so give it your best shot.
Okay. I put my pickup truck up on ramps to work on it. I left it running to fix the exhaust. I crawled underneath. I checked the exhaust as I was crawling out on the passenger side. It came off the ramps.
Oh!
It landed on my back. I was on my hands and knees with the truck on my back, and the wheel was up trying to crush my head.
Oh, was there anybody there, or you were all by yourself?
All by myself. My wife was in the house, and she didn't even know I was working on my truck.
Oh.
I heard a voice. As soon as it came down, I heard a voice, and it said, call Rosalie, my wife, have her drive it off you, and you'll be fine. This voice kept saying this. So for 5 minutes, I was screaming as loud as I could for her to come out. She finally realized the noise wasn't going to stop. And she came out to see, and then she realized I was in trouble.
She sees
she
that.
She ran over. So I said, Rosalie, this voice is saying, have her drive it off you, and you'll be fine. She came running over. I told her to drive it off. She said, no. Next thing I knew, she ran and she jumped in. It's a stick shift. She put it in gear, and she prayed. She said, Jesus, I can't do this. She pulled it up perfect. When she pulled it up, I pulled myself out. She called the rescue. I had a hole on my spine from a bracket that poked me.
Oh.
When the rescue got here and stuff, they thought I was dying this and that. They took me to the hospital. This whole time, this voice is telling me I'm going to be fine.
How long did it take you to heal up?
It took 4 months. But the thing was, I got to Rhode Island Hospital and the trauma unit. I had no internal injuries, no broken bones. I went home the same day.
That's incredible. That doesn't happen.
It does. I can my doctors all verify this.
Hey, do me a favor. We're out of time. Do me a favor. Say goodnight to everybody listening around the world.
Good night.
I'm glad you're okay. We just talked again to David Icke. His website is up and running now. He has no idea what happened. We'll try to follow up with that next week and see if we can get some answers for you. That is one strange story, but what a heck of a night. For Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasori, and Punnett and Art Bell, both of them this weekend. And I'll see you out of St. Louis on Monday. Until then, be safe, everyone.